This is ESPN Radio.
It is Canteen and Golic Jr., ESPN Radio. Put the fours up in the air for the fourth hour. Peter Burns, Amber Wilson filling in. 888-SAY-ESPN is the number. Always ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline.
4 hours in and that rejoin is still triggering me.
What part about it is it?
Well, first of all, this ridiculous notion that Mike Golic Jr. has in that rejoin that you can start celebrating Christmas at the beginning of November and it goes till Valentine's Day. Like, what are you talking about? Now is the appropriate time to go ahead and put up the Christmas decorations. We've gotten done with Thanksgiving. Okay. I have my Thanksgiving decorations up. So from Chris Canty's perspective, I agree with him to that extent that Thanksgiving needs to have its time, and it has now had its time. I don't know if I agree with Chris that we're celebrating the turkey on Thanksgiving because we're kind of just slaughtering it and eating it. So I don't know if that's respectful. I mean, I don't know if I agree with that portion of the take. Otherwise, I agree with Chris Canty.
That's fair. Although I will say after the whole like last 18 months, I'm kind of like, whatever you want to do, like all bets are off. Like, you know, with my kids are like 4 and 2. And after you've just been completely just worn down over a holiday weekend, you're like, you know what? Whatever they want to eat. Cheerios and pizza for dinner, and you want to watch the 43rd episode of Cocomelon? Go for it. Knock yourself out. Because am I any better as a human being watching like 18 hours straight of football, of NFL and college football? Like, I'm sure at some point Our kids are like talking about me and they're like, well, there is dad watching East Carolina Cincinnati. Like, he doesn't have a dog in that fight. Like, why is he watching Missouri Arkansas right now? Like, I'm sure they're judging me as well, too. Peter Burns, Amber Wilson here. Not as hard, though, as Nick Saban was judging his fans. I don't know if you heard this. This is fantastic. Coaches' radio shows are an interesting dynamic in so many different ways, right? Like, normally a coach will make millions and millions of dollars, and part of that contract is, hey, you're going to do all these appearances, and a lot of them are coaches' call-in show. I've been a guest on Coach Saban's call-in show, and it's intriguing because Coach Saban normally is able to give a message to his team through these coaches' shows, but sometimes he gives a message to the fans. Here's what Coach Saban had to say about Alabama fans in this week's episode of the Nick Saban Show.
When I came here, everybody was happy to win a game. All right, now we're not happy to win a game anymore. We're not happy to win a game at all. All right, we think we should win games by whatever. And I don't think that's fair to the players either. All right, because our players work their butt off, right, to be the best that they can be, right, and to get criticized for what they work hard for to do so that you can be entertained, right, so that you can enjoy and have pride and passion for what they accomplish and what they do. And they're not perfect. Right, they're just college students. They're going to they go to school every day. They got to study. Right, they have to run extra after practice when they miss study hall. I mean, come on. Give me a break. This is not professional football. These guys aren't getting paid to play here. They're representing you all. You should be proud and happy to support them and appreciate what they do and have some gratitude. And you know what else? Nobody wants to win worse than they do. Not me, not you. I don't care what kind of fan you are. Nobody wants to win more than the players that play. Nobody. And nobody feels worse than they do when they lose. Nobody. So for all you self-absorbed folks out there that can't look past your own self, all right, to appreciate what other people are doing.
And we're going to New Hampshire, and we're going to Vermont. Like, it was a very Howard Dean moment. But I want you to do me a favor. Devin, you guys vote over there in Bristol. Give me this, all right? I need an eye counter. So because there's a little subtle nuance. Is any time that you know Coach Saban is fired up about something, we call it the Ike counter, okay? Anytime there's more than 2.5 Ikes in a rant, you know it's serious business. All right, so get the counter ready, Devin. Let's do it a little Ike counter. Here was Coach Saban on his rant. Let's see if we get over 6.5. Go.
When I came here, everybody was happy to win a game. All right, now we're not happy to win a game anymore. We're not happy to win a game at all. All right, we think we should win games by whatever. And I don't think that's fair to the players either. All right, because our players work their butt off, all right, to be the best that they can be. All right, and to get criticized for what they work hard for to do so that you can be entertained. All All right, so that you can enjoy and have pride and passion for what they accomplish and what they do. And they're not perfect. All right, they're just college students. They're going to they go to school every day. They got to study. All right, they have to run extra after practice when they miss study hall. I mean, come on, give me a break. This is not professional football. These guys aren't getting paid to play here. They're representing you all. You should be proud and happy to support them and appreciate what they do and have some gratitude. And you know what else? Nobody wants to win worse than they do. Not me, not you. I don't care what kind of fan you are. Nobody wants to win more than the players that play. Nobody. And nobody feels worse than they do when they lose. Nobody. So for all you self-absorbed folks out there that can't look past your own self, all right, to appreciate what other people are doing.
Oh, you missed it. No, you missed it. You guys
was
missed
delayed.
It.
I counted nine.
I counted nine as well,
there
too,
were nine.
Amber.
There were nine. And every time I hear that sound, I noticed new things about that sound. And now I notice that he almost slipped up before he said the word but, that he censored himself in the moment that something else was about to come out of his mouth.
We work
of
our
but.
Donkey off.
That's what he was going to say, but in a different way. Yes. You know, he sounds overall, Peter, does that sound like a man who is scared of Georgia? Because that's kind of what it sounds like to me. Like, we're trying to temper expectations because I don't necessarily think that this is the best Bama team I've coached, and I'm trying to set up the fan base to be let down in Atlanta.
No, I do think that Saban has become a product of his own success. Or I wouldn't say call him a victim of his own success, but kind of maybe it is, right? About almost an unfair expectation. Like, Cowboy fans right now, after watching losing three of the last four and seeing the last two decades that Jerry Jones has meddled in this in the Dallas Cowboys, like, you kind of know what to expect now. Yeah, we're the Dallas Cowboys. We probably should be better than we are, but here's who we are, right? But for Alabama, the bar is set so high that
right,
you can
that's
sit,
where he set it.
It sits there, and it's almost like, hey, it's kind of your issue, right? Like, you're the person to blame because you are the greatest coach in the history of college football right now. I mean, that is
what happens. You take the winning for granted when you're doing a whole lot of it. And they have won, I think, 175 games since he's been there. They've only lost 24 times under Nick Saban. And of course, including, you know, the six national championships and everything else. And they're always preseason number one. And we know what that does to a fan base's expectation. You always have those expectations in the SEC at the huge majority of these programs. But obviously those expectations, you and I know this, you're an LSU fan, I'm a Gators fan, those expectations get somewhat tempered, not really fully tempered, because we're all probably a little outlandish with our expectations at all of our programs. But at least you and I have experienced some of the losing, and there's only so much that we can expect. Whereas obviously for Bama fans, they haven't. So yes, he is, I guess, a victim of his own creation in that regard, but it's hard to call a man a victim when he is compensated so handsomely for it. That is the job. And that's not to say that it's not annoying, or because you make a lot of money, there aren't annoying components of your job. But I do think it's an actual consideration. Like, before you go to the SEC, and I mean, we've been talking about these jobs that are open in the SEC, before you take that LSU job or before you take that Florida job, maybe you don't just look at the paycheck, because the paycheck is going to be handsome, but the expectations are also going to be as well. And that ain't for everybody. You know, sometimes this applies to athletes too. You know, sometimes that life, it's not all it's cracked up to be. Even in our business, there's jobs in our business that pay a whole lot that I wouldn't necessarily want.
Ask Dan Mullen that, right? I mean, Dan Mullen wanted the head coaching job over at Florida. Scott Strickland hired him, and now Dan Mullen's out. Ask Brett Bielema that, right? Like, who had everything rolling at Wisconsin and probably could have stayed there and had a whole lot of success. Him and Barry Alvarez didn't necessarily get, weren't necessarily the closest. And then so he said, all right, I'm going to head down to Fayetteville, Arkansas, and it was tough for him. And now he's over at Illinois. Like, again, I cover the best conference in college football. That is the SEC. I'm the anchor of that network. I don't know if it's the best jobs to have, frankly, because I feel like the uber success of Georgia now, and that's not that train's not getting off the track, and Kirby Smart's going to have that thing ripping. With Nick Saban, he's not – I mean, does that sound like the rant of a man that's about to hang it up? I don't think so. Like, he's still passionate, has passion in his belly about it. Those two Uber teams, I'm not sure with two signing days, a transfer portal now, how those two miss. And then I start looking at jobs like Virginia Tech. Then I start looking at jobs like Washington. They don't have the same athletes. They don't have the same passion. But damn, if that's not a pretty good job, and it's probably easier to win than at Virginia Tech than it is at LSU and in Florida right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I mentioned
the ACC
it earlier.
Not being great.
I think that's an underrated job because of that conference. I mean, it's I think wide open, and obviously you're talking about a program that cares a lot about football and the focus is on football. I think that's an underrated job in this country.
We'll talk about some of those upcoming great jobs, and also is the Heisman winner already locked up? We'll tell you when we play Book It coming up next. But Amber wants to tell you about a new podcast. Amber, what's up?
Join host Gotham Chopra as he explores what Tom Brady has meant to football and to the world in Man in the Arena, a new podcast from ESPN Plus and Religion of Sports. A companion piece to Gotham's ESPN Plus docuseries, this 10-part podcast examines the improbable ripple effects of Brady's career, things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hatred, perfection, even fate. The podcast is brought to you by State Farm, ZipRecruiter, and Rocket Mortgage. Listen and follow Man in the Arena now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and stream the docuseries on ESPN Plus.
This is ESPN Radio.
Firm Biz, maybe? I think might be. Peter Burns, Amber Wilson, in for Canty and Golic Jr., ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests like Adam Rittenberg going to be joining us in the Goodyear Hotline in about 10 minutes. Amber, real quick, as many people are driving across the country, you're there in Florida. What's the weather like down there, temperature-wise?
It's about 70, probably,
70?
Outside right
yeah.
now. It's beautiful, of course, this time of year. We get sometimes down into the frigid 60s, which
it's a cold 60,
then we break
right?
out our winter coats and our beanies. But
brutal.
Right now, exactly 70 degrees. I just pulled it up on my app.
It's rough here. We're freezing over here in Charlotte, North Carolina. I think it's 61, 62. But the sun just went down. So
you guys are really doing this to us.
Devin, you guys in Bristol, how's the weather
out
there?
What's it like
there?
In Connecticut, guys?
It's currently 36, and it's
not a little snow flurry here
For the next 4 hours, we got a chance of snow coming down. So I'm glad you guys are enjoying your weather down there.
So the only thing worse than having to work with Peter Burns and Amber Wilson instead of Canty and Golic Jr. is the fact that it's snowing. What a double whammy for you guys on the day after Thanksgiving.
It builds character, okay?
It does. How is it working at Bristol? Builds character. I love that. That is something to put on the resume. Also to put on the resume, Devin, you do a great job of this. It's time for a segment called Book It. Let's roll.
All right, guys, Book It. You know the drill. You add Book It to any of your hot take. It's a hot take multiplier. It allows you to feel like Stephen A. Smith, if only for a moment.
You can book it.
Put it in the book.
You know what time it is. It's Book It time, damn it.
All right. Amber, let's start with you this time.
Am I a bad host for talking about the weather? Book it or not book it here, Devin?
Oh, that's the easiest book it of all time,
book
Peter.
It. Okay.
I'm booking it too at this point. All right.
You can book it.
Amber, the NFC East crown will come down to the Week 17 matchup when the Cowboys take on the Eagles. Are you going to book it?
I want to book this, but I'm not going to book it because that would be best case scenario for all of us. Well, maybe all of us who are not Cowboys fans, but all of us who are just football fans generally for it to come down to that in week 17. I think the Cowboys are going to get healthy here. I think they are going to take the NFC East. They've got a couple games up on the Eagles. I do like the direction, of course, that the Eagles are headed. I vehemently think that Jalen Hurts should be the starting quarterback for them in 2022. And I realize that lead's probably going to shrink this weekend because I think the Eagles are going to face the Giants. Nevertheless, though, when the Cowboys are healthy, they're easily the better team than Philadelphia. I'm not going to book this one. I don't think it's going to come down to the last week of the season. Peter?
I will say this. The reason why is because I think I'm not booking it either. I think the Cowboys are thank you, Stephen A. Smith. I think that they're able to rest Zeke this week, if not 2 weeks in a row, to get him right for a stretch run. They've got the Saints coming up, which should be basically an NFL bye. They've got the Washington football team and the Giants, then Washington again. Get him right for the Arizona game and then the Eagles. By that point, I still think that the Cowboys will have it done. Next one, sir.
Peter, a two-loss Alabama team will still make the college football playoff. Are you going to book that?
Not booking it.
With all due respect, that's not good enough.
Yeah, it is not good enough, right? I mean, again, I say this as a guy who loves SEC football. I'm married to an Alabama Crimson Tide fan. I don't want to see a two-loss Alabama team in there. If they lose, they had their opportunities, right? Especially if it comes to the at the expense of an Oklahoma State team that would win the Big 12 championship and only have one loss, or Cincinnati and not getting in, who currently is up 21-6 right now over the East Carolina Pirates right now.
Yeah, I'm absolutely not booking this.
Really?
I mean, if this happens, the entire playoff committee needs to be fired. I don't know if we have the power to do that. I don't know who's in charge, but they would all need to be fired from their role at that point. You'd just be giving a two-loss Alabama team a trip to the playoffs because their name is Alabama. Like, that would be the only reason, because there's other viable options here. Obviously, Peter mentioned Cincinnati. Depends how this all plays out. Of course, you know, you also have Michigan. You have Notre Dame in a position where maybe they could sneak their way, and you don't need a two-loss Bama team in the mix for this four-team playoff. I am not booking this one.
All right.
Let's go rapid fire. Last two here. Let's get a minute on each. Peter, C.J. Stroud will win the Heisman Trophy. Are you going to book it?
I am booking it.
You can book it.
C.J. should put up monster numbers against the Michigan Wolverines, and I think he puts up just a stupid number in the Big Ten Championship, as I think the Buckeyes end up winning this week handily. And the other part about that, I'm booking it because I think that this Georgia defense, because Alabama's so one-dimensional right now and can't run the ball, I think they're going to be able to tee off on Bryce Young. So give me C.J. Stroud. I wish it would have taken him 2 weeks ago when I could have gotten monster odds on him winning the Heisman.
Yeah, I'm going to book this one, but I don't want to book it, because who deserves to win the Heisman is somebody from that Georgia D who Peter just mentioned. I mean, probably Jordan Davis, the D tackle from Georgia, a huge man who, you know, moves like a 200-pounder. I mean, it's unbelievable his athleticism and how good he is. That dude deserves the Heisman. That Georgia D, I mean, that's far and away. There's been no questions about Georgia this season, largely because of their defense, and yet we're all sold on them, and we're not going to hand them the Heisman because it's become, you know, a skill player award, really a quarterback award.
All right, last one. Amber, Tim Tebow will be the next coach of your Florida Gators. Are you going to book it?
I know RG3 is just trying to speak this into fruition. Like,
wait,
Peter Burns
this was actually something that was said or tweeted?
I guess RG3 said it, right? That he thinks that this is going to happen, or that this should happen. Trying to speak it into fruition like you're trying to speak Lincoln Riley into fruition for your LSU Tigers. And neither of these are happening, but certainly this one ain't happening.
Really?
I love Tim Tebow, of course. I'm a Gator fan. You know, we have to. And obviously, you know, he's great. Maybe not a great tight end, you know, but he was great during his tenure at Florida. He can do many, many things in this world. Walking into a head coaching gig at a Power 5 when he has no coaching experience, that shouldn't probably be one of them, Peter.
As a coworker of Tim Tebow, I plead the fifth here, and I will
not book it, because you want him to stay your coworker. He can't stay on the SEC network.
There it is. I want Tim to continue to save my soul over here at the SEC Network. I will say, no, that's not going to happen. I think the only reason why RG3 tweeted that out is because one day he wants to take over for Dave Aranda as the head coach over at Baylor. So he's like, let Tim try to do it first. If not him, maybe me down the road. All right, let's talk about some of the best openings in college football. Our next guest, Adam Rittenberg's ranked him. We'll talk to him coming up. Peter Burns and Amber Wilson in for Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Really?
This is ESPN Radio.
Little old school biggie, way old school. Canty and Golic Jr. and ESPN Radio, Peter Burns and Amber Wilson. I think they keep trying to stump us, Amber, on our 90s hip-hop music beds. It's just not going to happen. Not going to happen today.
It's your wheelhouse.
By the way, we thought we might see chaos happening between Cincinnati and East Carolina. It was 21-6. East Carolina looked like they were going to score a touchdown, called back on a holding penalty. The Pirates go elect, for whatever reason, to kick a field goal. The field goal blocked East Carolina with the scoop, Cincinnati with the scoop in score. And now they find themselves up 28-6, if my math is correct. And Adam Rittenberg, that is one more good little feather in the cap if the Bearcats could get that win for Luke Fickell and their college football playoff chances, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Peter. Their path is clear. If they can win out, you know, they're there in the top four. And while there's a potential always for a group of five team to get leapfrogged, I think if they can finish this off in definitive fashion and then beat Houston, a really good Houston team that should be 11-1 next week, that's going to be a pretty strong argument for them to stay in the top four.
So, Adam, on the .com, you have your article ranking college football's open coaching jobs. Now, Peter, he's an LSU Tiger. I'm a Florida Gator, so both of us are living it right now. But if I had to ask you, what is the best job that's available right now in college football, what would you tell me it is?
Yeah, it's LSU. Not to give away the whole list, but, yeah, it's LSU at the top. And, you know, the reason is that, you know, even when the program is down, and Peter knows this, and there's a lot of drama that surrounds LSU. Not an easy job. You have to navigate a lot of things politically. But it's a place that has shown you can turn it around quickly, right? I mean, the last three coaches have won national titles there. It went bad, obviously, quickly on Ed Orgeron. But I think whoever takes over for him, you know, a couple of recruiting classes, some transfers, you're going to have enough talent to be competing for the SEC and the college football playoff in short order. I don't know if that's necessarily true, having seen USC play this season, or even Florida. I mean, Florida obviously has won at that level as well, but I don't know if that's a quick fix. I think LSU is always a quick fix because of the place it's located, the support around the program, and just their track record of spikes and winning at the highest levels of the sport.
See, despite Adam Rittenberg and I hating each other on Twitter, finally he said something that was smart on this radio show. Thank you, Adam Rittenberg. I appreciate that. Peter Burns, Amber Wilson filling in for Canty and Golic Jr. I kid, but I do find this intriguing as words coming out now that Wake Forest has reached a long-term contract extension with Dave Clawson. Great for the Demon Deacons. We heard this about Dave Aranda at Baylor, Mel Tucker staying at Michigan State, James Franklin staying at Penn State. I mean, have you seen a situation where more college football programs are really just paying the piper to keep their guy here? I don't think I've ever seen it like this, Adam.
Yeah, it's been unbelievable because you knew this was going to be a crazy coaching cycle, but really the theme so far is that these coaches have stayed put and the schools have obviously paid up. Now, you know, Dave Clawson's situation, you're completely understandable given the success he's had, a little bit different from the reaction, I would imagine, to Mel Tucker or even James Franklin. You know, what Dave has done at Wake Forest in the last, you know, 4, 5, 6 years has been unbelievable. And so, you know, Wake Forest understands that there's interest in him, Virginia Tech, maybe Washington. And so they are they're certainly, you know, stepping up to keep him there in Winston-Salem. So, but again, that's been the theme. And so people are wondering, guys, who are these schools going to hire? They have to give the job to somebody. And I think there's going to be a lot of hires that maybe don't wow the fan bases or win the press conferences, but they could still end up being really good moves for the schools. It just may not be the kind of name candidates that you thought going into this cycle.
ESPN's college football senior writer Adam Rittenberg joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. So, Adam, I don't want to fight with you like you and Peter Burns apparently do on Twitter, but I do have to push back on the notion that LSU is such the better job than Florida. You said you thought you could turn things around at LSU faster. Florida was just in an SEC championship a year ago, so you could argue that the success, of course, recently has been there. I understand that LSU, the national championship in 2019, but in other words, neither of these programs have been very down in recent memory,
right?
And Florida has the new facilities. Otherwise, they kind of seem very similar to me in terms of obviously the conference and the expectation and even the cities.
Yeah, you know, there are some similarities, Amber. I mean, really, you know, we talk about the last three coaches at LSU winning national titles. Prior to that, it was a really average, below average, underachieving program. And at Florida, you could say that, you know, there's been two coaches that have had major breakthroughs, obviously Steve Spurrier and then Urban Meyer. And then Dan Mullen seemed to be on his way, and like you said, just in the SEC title game last year. So I think the potential is there at Florida. The one thing you do have to deal with at Florida that you don't have to deal with at LSU is you have two other programs in the state that have won multiple national championships. You know, LSU is the only Power 5 program in one of the best states for recruits, at least density-wise, in the country. And so in Florida, you're constantly playing defense because all these programs are coming into your state to try to take out talent. And, you know, they could be Florida State people, they could be Miami people, they could be Alabama people. Whereas in LSU, great players there for the most part grow up wanting to play for the LSU Tigers. So that's one difference between the two.
Adam Rittenberg joining us. All right, if Dave Aranda does indeed stay in Waco, which reports say that could happen, James Franklin re-upping, same thing with Mel Tucker, who in the world gets the USC job?
Yeah, the USC thing has been fascinating because it's the first major job that came open, you know, back on September 13th, and it's been incredibly quiet so far. Now things are going to start ramping up, but, you know, a lot of the coaches that you would think, Luke Fickell, likely to stay at Cincinnati. You know, he had a direct connection to USC athletic director Mike Bone, who hired him when Bone was the AD at Cincinnati. And so if Aranda is indeed staying put at Baylor, we'll see if that actually happens. Matt Campbell's name has come up, the Iowa State head coach. And then after that, you kind of wonder, is there somebody else who USC has maybe been targeting on the down low that we just haven't thought about? And obviously it hasn't gotten out a whole lot, because other than Matt Campbell, there's not too many Power Five coaches that at least have been mentioned as likely possibilities for USC. Do they look at Kalani Sitake and the success he's had at BYU? Kyle Whittingham is an older coach. He's 61. Probably not going to coach that much longer. Do you go after him? So I think the USC search, if Fickell is out and if Aranda is indeed out, will get really interesting here in the next week or so.
Bring Lane Kiffin back. Come on. Hire him on the tarmac and everything. Listen, if we're talking crazy talk, right? I mean, completely out of the realm of possibility?
Yes. Yeah, it is. Okay. I hate to break it to you. It just, a lot of it. And this isn't a knock on Lane now, because I think he's matured a lot. But Lane's a risky hire for a lot of administrators. And even though I think he's completely reshaped his image as a head coach in recent years, you look at USC as an institution, they've gone through a lot of embarrassment and a lot of scandal. And not to say that Lane Kiffin would automatically trigger that, but I think he's riskier than some of these other coaches for their chancellor, for their athletic director. So I think that's probably why, he's not really a candidate there. I think Lane's probably going to end up staying at Ole Miss. Maybe if Miami makes a move, you might see his name get mentioned there. But I think what he's got going in Oxford now is really incredible. And you could see him staying there long term.
Check out Adam Rittenberg's rankings of the college football's open coaching jobs on ESPN.com. Quickly here, Adam, obviously, we always talk about USC, Florida, LSU. There are other jobs available in the country. I think Virginia Tech might be an underrated one of those. What are your thoughts on the Va Tech job? Obviously, a seemingly winnable conference right now.
Yeah, that's really it, Amber. Coaches always wonder, what's my path to a championship, whether it's a league championship or ultimately getting into the college football playoff. And that's what Virginia Tech offers. Not only a very winnable division that seemingly changes champions every year. Now Pitt's won it. Virginia won it a couple of years ago. Virginia Tech's already obviously won it. Miami's been the one team that hasn't really broken through a whole lot. But it's incredibly doable to win there. And they also have tradition, right? It's an ACC program that is football first. And in that conference, there's a lot of basketball schools. Virginia Tech is a football school with a football fan base, and Frank Beamer showed that you can win at the very highest levels of the sport. Now, you're going to have to recruit different areas, I think better than they have in recent years, but I do think there's some real promise with that job, and we'll see what type of interest they get. Billy Napier's name was mentioned early on. He may be headed to Florida. Jamie Chadwell from Coastal Carolina, who's done a great job, I think would be a great fit there. He's a Tennessee guy. So I do agree with you that the job has some real promise.
He is always promising all his stuff. At ESPN Rittenberg on Twitter, and that's where we normally yell at each other. Adam, always great stuff, man. Thanks for joining us on a holiday weekend, all right?
Yeah, look forward to the yelling. Thanks, guys.
There it is. Adam Rittenberg joining Peter Burns and Amber Wilson. Kenny and Golic Jr. continue to roll on. And how about this? Can you call the dollar store really the dollar store if everything's $1.25, Bishop? We'll explain next. Canty and Golic, Amber Wilson, Peter Burns filling in on ESPN Radio. Canty and Golic Jr., ESPN Radio, Peter Burns, Amber Wilson filling in. We've had a great time today, Amber. We have not figured out either one of our new head coaches, although I've tried to will Lincoln Riley over to LSU. Who have you tried to will? Tim Tebow, according to Robert, RG3 to
as much as I am a fan, yes. Diehard, obviously, of Tim Tebow as a Gator, yes. And I appreciate everything that he does with you at SEC Network. I would prefer to continue to watch him on my television as a commentator rather than him to maybe walk in as the head coach of the Gators. I mean, I'd be happy to give him some sort of role on the coaching staff. I don't know why he would want one. I feel like Tim Tebow's life is pretty good right now without the stress of coaching a Power 5 program, but I'd be happy to have him on my staff. Head coach, feel like we're, you know, a few steps ahead of where we would need to be. So that seems a little unrealistic to me.
I'm with you. Time for more unrealistic storylines.
Nick Saban. You asked me who I want to speak into existence here. And yeah, hey, Nick maybe you need, you're annoyed at the fans. We played your rants numerous times during the show. You think they're self-absorbed. We're a lot more used to losing right now at Florida than they are up at Alabama. Come down to Gainesville. Okay, we'll treat you well.
That's not happening. What is happening, though, three and out. Hit the fancy open, Devin.
Sometimes it's the worst. Sometimes it's the best. Either way, we'll get you straight with everything you need to know. This is...
All right, Devin, what do you got here? Are you? I want you to break it down for us.
All right, let's start with... we teased it. So let me just read this headline and see what you guys think. Dollar Tree is hiking their prices 25%. Most items now will cost $1.25. Can we still call the dollar store if prices are $1.25?
I think you can, because I think just the changing the signage and $1.25 store doesn't roll off. Although I cannot help but think of $1.25 in the Adam Sandler bit on his old comedy tape. $1.25, Bishop. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go ahead. And the Tollbooth Willie, that's one of the great comedy bits of all time. I think they're going to have to stick to a Dollar Tree there, Amber.
No, I like that you need to stay true to who you are. And apparently who you are now is $1.25. So you need to now be the $1.25 store, because otherwise it's false advertising. It's fake marketing there. You're not a dollar store. You walk in, everyone's hoodwinked. All of a sudden they're spending $1.25 on stuff. No, reveal yourself, dollar store. If you're going to inflate... in this world of inflation that we're living in right now, then just go into, but just be real. Just be real about it. You're the $1.25 store.
All right. Devin, next one, sir.
A Boise library book was returned after 110 years being checked out. One library book made its way back to the Boise Public Library after 110 years past its due date. The New Chronicles of Rebecca, the name of the book, was originally $1.50. The Boise Library stopped charging for overdue books in 2019, and thank God they did, because if they still charged, there would be over $800 in late fees.
See, the New Chronicles of Rebecca would not be available at the new $1.25 store because it was $1.50 way back in the day. So that's the only thing I have to add towards that one. I am intrigued by this last one, though, Devin. What do you have here?
A TV host from Australia flew 10,000 miles for an exclusive interview with Adele, only to have it canceled after he said he hadn't listened to her new album.
I mean, reasonable tough behavior. 10,000 miles and you didn't have time to listen to 30, which is an unbelievable album that I've already listened to 100 times, and I didn't have to fly 10,000 miles. What else are you doing on your flight?
Is it not petty, though, a little bit that they blocked the interview?
No. For interviews. Peter Burns and I just prepared for Adam Rittenberg's interview. I read his piece before we interviewed him.
Good point.
We're pros.
Who's Adele? No, I'm just
who's
joking.
Adele?
Oh, my God. You can't drop that bomb as we're leaving.
No, yeah, sign off now. That. I do know who the next two people are. That is Spain and Fitz coming up. This has been Canty and Golic Jr. Peter Burns hanging out with Amber Wilson. We have had fun. Follow us on Twitter at AmberW790, myself at Peter Burns ESPN. Thanks for chilling with us, Amber. Great job, and you guys have a wonderful Friday and great weekend.